Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
So very quickly, as a way of definition, kingdom service simply refers to any spiritual act that is deployed to serve God, to serve His people, and to serve His purpose on earth. Any act of spiritual significance that is done in order to serve God, or His people, or His purpose on earth, is called kingdom service. This service usually will require your time, your giftings, your resources, and your energy. This service, although spiritual, usually will require your time, your giftings or talents, your resources, and your strength. And it is targeted to achieving one purpose, which is both to what? Advance God's will and to give Him glory. It's a spiritual service. Nonetheless, it will require your time, your giftings or talents, your resources, and your strength. And usually it is targeted to advancing God's will or bringing glory to His name. In the eyes of God, this service is your way of demonstrating your love, your obedience to Him. In the eyes of God, this is your way of demonstrating your love and showing your obedience to Him through commitment. That's how God sees this service. There are four major things I'll be dealing with on this subject. Number one is the justification or the foundation for service in the kingdom. Number two is to also touch the areas of service in the kingdom. Number three is to show us the attitude for service, or the attitude towards service in the kingdom. And then number four is to show us the levels of service in the kingdom. And then if I have time, I will add number five, which is to enumerate the rewards for service in the kingdom. These are just basic things, and everyone should understand them. It should be our basic consciousness, because this defines to a very large extent the meaning of our existence. I've taught you here time and time again that there are three basic things that brings meaning and relevance to our existence. I said number one is the knowledge of God that we have. And I told us knowledge in this context is the degree of our experience of God. Jesus was speaking in John 17 verse 3. He said, "This is life eternal, that you may know Him, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom He has sent," or He had sent. So this is life eternal. As far as God is concerned, the meaning of your life is the extent to which you experience Him. Number two, I told us what gives meaning and relevance to our lives is the extent to which we avail ourselves in intimacy to God. Because the Bible said in Deuteronomy 32 verse 9, it said the Lord's portion is His people. And He said, "Jacob is my possession." So God wants us to avail ourselves in intimacy to Him. He expects us to adore Him and to be available for Him at all times. This is why Jesus was speaking in John 4, 23 and 24 about the group of people that God is looking for. And He said they are worshippers. Worshippers that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. And then number three, I said what gives meaning to our existence is the extent to which we facilitate the kingdom of God on earth. Our participation in the Thy Kingdom Come agenda. In fact, when Jesus was teaching on prayer in Matthew chapter 6 verse 10, one of the things that stood out in that teaching was the fact that He said, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So it's one thing to hallow God, it's one thing, another thing to ask Him for your daily bread, but all of that will be useless if it does not translate to establishing His kingdom on the face of the earth. So God expects you to honor Him, to hallow Him. God also expects you to depend on Him to provide your daily bread. But the summary of all of that, as far as it impacts His realm, is the extent to which it translates to His kingdom, finding expression in your own sphere. So these three things, they define or they give meaning to our existence. Paul was teaching, he said in 2 Corinthians 5:17 to 19 now, he said, you are a new, whoever is in Christ Jesus is a new creature. He said, all things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. So the summary of the finished works of Christ is to make you a new creature. One who carries God's image and one who is a participator in God's kingdom as an heir. And then he told us the implication of becoming a new creature. How it impacts on God's realm. In verse 19, he said that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. Not imputing our trespasses on us, but giving us the word of reconciliation. So we are new creatures to become the extension of God's government on the face of the earth. Glory to God. And so when we are dealing with the subject of service, to a very large extent, it revolves around the role we play in bringing God's kingdom to our own context or sphere of influence. Hallelujah. And so in a bid to bring justification to service in the kingdom, the first thing we will highlight is the fact that we were created and we were redeemed, amongst other things, to become God's agents and agencies to facilitate His agenda on the face of the earth. We were created for service. That's what I'm saying. We were created for service. And the summary of our service is to bring God's kingdom to finding expression in our spheres of influence. Hallelujah. So that's the first justification for service. Service is the reason for our creation. Ephesians 2 verse 10. The Bible said we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And He said this works, God ordained it before the foundations of the earth that we should walk in them. So when you are bringing God's kingdom to the earth realm, which is the summary of your work for God, it is something God predetermined even before you were created. And it is one of the reasons you were created. So a man who is not serving God is not living. His existence is useless. Isaiah 43 verse 21. The prophets also knew this. So this is not just the New Testament reality. Isaiah 43, 21. He said, these people have I formed for myself that they should show forth my praise. So the first justification for service is that service is the reason for your creation. Anybody who is not serving God has not realized why he's here. It's possible to come here and begin to pursue your ambitions and they have no bearing to God's agenda. Your existence is waste. It's a wasted existence. First justification for service. The second justification for service is the fact that Jesus came to model for us service. And you know, Jesus is the pattern man. When Jesus walked on the face of the earth for the first time, God spoke from heaven and said, this is my beloved son. in whom I am well pleased. A second time, he repeated it. The first time was at the baptismal service. You read that in Matthew chapter 3, around verse 17. And then the second time was at the Mount of Transfiguration, where God speaking now. That's also in Matthew 17, from verse 2 to verse 5, and Luke chapter 9, verse 28 to 29, to 31 thereabout, where God spoke again from heaven after the Transfiguration experience. He said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." So, amongst other things, the reason Jesus came was to show us God's idea of who a man should be. And Jesus modeled that idea by serving the Father and serving even to the last. In Mark 10:45, himself speaking, he said, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Even the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to be served, rather to serve, and to serve to the degree that he gives his life as a ransom. Because that was the Father's desire. In John 3:16, he said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." So Jesus, it was not his idea to die. It was the Father's idea. So he was serving even to the point of death. And I'm saying these things with emphasis because any service in this kingdom that is done within the perimeter of selfishness does not give glory to God. Because most of us have reduced service to transactions. Now, there are blessings in service. That's why I told you I was going to add the reward for service. But service is deeper than what you gain. And as you go further, you will find that. And this is what Jesus modeled for us. Even if it cost him his life, he was ready and willing to do it. Glory to Jesus. Number three, justification for service is the fact that God expects us to serve. So he didn't just create us to serve. He also expects that we serve. John 13, verse 14 to 15. Please write these scriptures down. I'm deliberate to read them in a very calm manner so that these things settle. Because most of us, we've not really understood the place of service. Jesus bent down to wash the feet of his disciples. And after he did that, he now began to tell them one of the reasons for that action. And this was his statement. "If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, he said, ye also ought to wash one another's feet." Verse 15. He said, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done." So, he didn't just pattern it. He expects us to do it. And not just to do it carelessly, but to do it with vigor. We should insist to serve. We should ask for the opportunity to serve. In Romans 12, verse 11, the Bible taught us the attitude. It said, "Be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." So kingdom service is not something you are motivated to do. If God expects you to do it, then you do it with the whole of your heart. He said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength." So God expects you to serve with fervency. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, it said, "Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain." Be steadfast. Be immovable. This is not something you do today, tomorrow you are not available. This is not something you do today, tomorrow you are offended and you walk away. No. Anybody who is at that level is still a child. And as I show you levels of service, you will see that in kingdom service we grow. And we don't just grow, we grow in stature and we grow in ranking. This is not... If there's one thing you don't have the right to walk out from, it's service in the house of God. Or service unto the Lord. No matter what happens, you insist. Nobody can bully me out of serving in God's house. Nobody can make me walk away from serving in God's house.
Because it's a calling. And it's not just a calling, it's an opportunity. An opportunity to be relevant to my Creator, and an opportunity to have reward, not only in this life, but in the life to come. In fact, if you are in a kingdom, or in the kingdom, and you have not been given a responsibility, after a while, you should approach the leadership and ask, why have I not been given any responsibility? Is there something I need to do that I have not done? Because this is not a place to come and idle away. No. You shouldn't sit down and watch others serving God, and you are even clapping. This guy is good. Are you joking? When you go to eternity, you will clap for them. You see somebody preaching, you see somebody mopping, you see somebody coordinating. Things are going well in the house of God, and you are just nodding. These guys are doing well. That position, only God deserves that position. Is the one who says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's not your office. So don't assume God's office and start nodding while others are serving. Plunge yourself into it. Insist that you have your place there. I must do something in the house of God. Because God expects me. I'm giving you biblical justifications for service. You were created to serve. Jesus gave you a pattern that men should serve. And God expects you to serve. Number four, why must I serve? It's a command. So in case you don't know you were created to serve, in case you have not seen the pattern in Jesus, in case you have not realized it's an expectation, then Jesus gives it as a command. In John 20:21, he says, as the Father have sent me, he says, so also send I you. As the Father has sent me. So there are those who catch it because they know, why was I created? I was created to serve. There are others who, in reading the Bible, studying the life of Jesus and the apostles, they saw that they lived their life for service. So they plunge into it. There are others who, either by the workings of the Holy Ghost or by the revelations of scriptures, realize that God expects them to serve, and they get into it. But in case you miss these three, then there's a command. As the Father have sent me, he says, so also send I you. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, 19, and 20, Paul made us to understand that we were not just saved to relax in the house of God and enjoy worship. He said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And in verse 19, it said, to wit, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, but he had committed unto us. There's a command, the word of reconciliation. This is one of the ways to serve, by the way. The word of reconciliation. And then he went further concerning himself. He said, now are we the ambassadors of Christ. The guy had a revelation. Now are we the ambassadors of Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. He said, we pray you in Christ's stead to be reconciled. They were sold out to this thing, that if they had to persuade men, they did it. That was the revelation they had. This was the same man speaking that said, necessity is laid upon me. Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. Because that's an aspect of service. Paul is saying, I am cursed if I don't serve God. To show you the premium that God puts on service. So it's a command. Everyone must serve in one way or the other. And that's why I'm going to show you the aspect of service in the house of God. And then finally, what's the justification for service? It's an investment into eternity or in eternity. This is one thing that will make you to be relevant, not only in time, but in eternity. Matthew 6:19 and 20. Jesus was counseling his people. And he said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rot doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Verse 20. It says, but rather lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rot doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. Some of us spend 35 years serving the government for a salary that cannot even sustain us 3 years after the service. Painfully, but true, some people died struggling for their gratuity. Some have fought for their pension. Till date, they don't have it. A failing system. We invest the best of our minds, the best of our abilities. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong taking up a career or serving your nation as a patriot. But I am saying, if you can invest as much as 35 years to serve your country, to serve a system, an earthly system, how much more you serve the government of the world where you will spend your forever and ever. And so Jesus counseled, don't only lay up treasures here on earth. He said the ones here can be sabotaged. He said rather lay treasures for yourselves where it cannot be corrupt nor destroyed. Because for sure there will be a reward. Revelation 22 verse 12. He said, behold, I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly. He's telling you, the word behold is become aware. That means don't be ignorant on this matter. Behold, I come quickly. And my reward is with me. Not for everybody. Salvation is for everybody that believes. But my reward is for every man that has walked. That's why I told us here, and I've been reiterating it. Salvation is not enough as far as eternity is concerned. Salvation is the ticket to a glorious eternity. But works is the ticket for an established eternity. You don't want to be nobody there, then you better spend your energy, your time, and your resources here now serving God. I feel sorry for many people who you will need to persuade and persuade before they serve. And I feel even bigger sorry for those that get offended and their idea of offense is to walk away from service. That means even what they were doing was not unto God. And the Bible said, your service should be counted as unto God, not unto man. Even me who is here preaching to you, I shouldn't have enough power to dissuade you from serving. Even in this house. Because you are not serving me, sir. The ministry is a platform for you to serve God. I can't give you anything that is eternal. You don't come here for me. You come here for Jesus. And you came because the Holy Ghost directed you. How come you got offended and walked out without the Holy Ghost? You have taken your own life in your hand. What a shame. Service is investment into eternity. See, from today, make up your mind. I must find my place in the kingdom. All of us won't preach. All of us won't be ushers. All of us will be in the sanitary unit. But all of us must have a place where we are relevant. That's why I told you, it takes time. It takes energy. It takes resources. One way or the other, there is one aspect you can fit into. Glory to God. Praise God. So these are the justifications for service in the house of God. If you need anything more than this, then the Holy Ghost will have to come down himself today and tell you something. Because me, I don't know more than this one. Glory to Jesus. Metei makona. Bazanji soroba. Metei makona. Bazanji toroba. areas of kingdom service. I'm functioning today like a lecturer. Write everything down. Go and meditate on it. I'm deliberate about what I'm doing. Now, before I enumerate the areas of service, I want you to understand that every area is a spiritual area. Because kingdom service is spiritual. And I tell you why. Three reasons. Number one, you serve God primarily with your spirit. Because that's where grace comes from. That's where the Holy Ghost dwells. So even if it channels through your energy, through your mind, through your soul, you need to understand that first of all is spiritual. Romans chapter 1 verse 9. It's spiritual because you serve Him primarily with your spirit. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you in prayers. If it does not originate from your spirit, it's the works of flesh, and it will not pass the test of divinity. Any service that has its root outside the spirit is dead works. So you must understand that although diverse aspects of service, all of them has one origin, the spirit. If it does not originate from there, the Holy Ghost will not approve of it. It will be called dead works or works of the flesh. And it will not appease God. Do you know why many people end up corrupting their service? Because it was not spiritual. If it is spiritual, the prompting, the abilities will all flow from there. And so even when you feel tired, you feel discouraged, you will notice that that everlasting fountains that never run dry will keep bubbling. And as you yield, strength will come from beyond you. Because it's spiritual. So it's spiritual because it originates from your spirit that is joined to the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost is the actual source. But because your spirit is one with the spirit, it flows from there. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 17. It says, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. So you are a compound spirit. The spirit of God and your spirit mingled as a compound spirit, becoming the source of every dimension of service. Number two, it's spiritual because it is sponsored by the grace of God. The abilities to serve are the graces that we receive from the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 10. Paul was speaking about his labors. And he said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. He said, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. He said, but I labor more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was in me. Two things I will say here is, number one, if you are not serving in the kingdom, you have received grace in vain. So there are many grace-filled Christians that have received grace in vain. That's what Paul said. So the purpose of grace after salvation is to teach you how to walk in holiness. And after walking in holiness is to teach you how to serve in the kingdom. So grace brings salvation. Grace empowers for holy living. And grace empowers for service. Titus chapter 2 verse 11 to 12. He said, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation. So the first errand of grace is to sponsor salvation. The grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. So all men should be saved. But all men should not just be saved. It goes further to verse 12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldliness, we should live soberly and righteously and goodly in this present world. So the second errand is what? Holy and righteous living. Then it goes further to verse 13. looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. This is where works comes in. Because the way you look up to Him is to be sober, is to be prayerful, and is to keep serving. So these are the three holistic expressions of the errand of grace. It brings salvation, it teaches holy living, and it empowers for service. See the problem of the hyper-grace preachers. They stop the operation of grace in salvation. They never extend to holy living. They never extend to labors in the kingdom. But everyone whom grace is not received in vain, first, apprehends salvation. Secondly, walks in holiness. And thirdly, serves God on the strength of that grace. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And I labor more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God that is in me. So if you are not serving, you have received grace in vain. Because that's what Paul said. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 10. I have not received the grace of God in vain. Because it is actually grace that places us in service departments. In this kingdom, you can't do what you don't have grace for. Imagine if I was the choir director. You will suffer here. Matema Kona. You are like, come on, what's going on here? Oga, Abeg, sit down. I love you, but relax. That one, relax. If you don't function where you have grace, you become an object of caricature or mockery. Glory to God. But if you have grace and you keep quiet, it's worse. So it's better to serve in an area where you don't have so much grace than to have grace and not serve. Because if you don't have grace and you are consistent and God sees your heart, He can supply grace. But if you have grace and you sit down, there's nothing God can do. So the first thing about this scripture is that if you have grace and you don't use it in service, you have received it in vain. The second thing about this scripture is that the ability to serve is not your natural aptitude. This is why you can't write yourself off in this kingdom. Many people have a problem. They think God is looking for them because they are smart, because they are intelligent. Your intelligence, the Holy Ghost can ride on your intelligence, but your intelligence is not what God is looking for. So, when you see people who think, oh, this kingdom service is for some special people, it's a mistake. You may not look like it. Don't worry. It's grace that makes the difference. This is why when you discover the area where you have grace and you start serving, even you will marvel. You go read your scripture. How do you send a stammerer and a stutterer to be your prophet? When Moses complained, God asked him, who created the mouth? I'm not looking for eloquence. There's a grace for speaking the mind of God. You can be eloquent and not communicate God's oracles. So don't define yourself based on your natural abilities. God can breathe upon your natural abilities, but what's working in you is beyond your natural abilities. Why would Jesus come into the world and of all men pick fishermen? This does not mean He won't use educated people, because eventually He used Paul. But it also means uneducated men are not also limited. Because Paul himself speaking, he said the same grace that wrought mightily in Peter, James and John was the grace at work in me. So Paul knew, I'm not doing what I'm doing because I'm a lawyer. I'm doing what I'm doing because there's a grace. So quit this fear you have. I don't look like it. That's not God's standard. When you receive grace, you will be able to serve. And everybody can serve somewhere. So the second thing that makes service spiritual is the fact that service is sponsored by grace, not by natural aptitude or propensity. Number 3, what makes kingdom service spiritual Kingdom service is spiritual because it is the work of a spirit. You were invited to partner with him. So you can't take the work from the spirit to your realm. No, the work is the work of the Holy Ghost. You were invited to partner with him. You are a co-worker with him. So it operates by his terms. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. It says, for we are laborers together with God. So the labor is God's labor. You were invited to partner with God. So it's a spiritual work. Because it's the work of a spirit. We are laborers together with God. This is why you can't spring up and want to serve God without building your spirit. The reason many get tired, the reason many get frustrated, the reason many get offended is because they were doing a spiritual work with physical ability. A time will come, you will tell the difference. I was playing with one of our sisters recently. She was moved by compassion. But she didn't take time to pray to receive ability. And so she was moved by compassion. Anybody that does not have accommodation, she said, come and stay with me. When they became five, she now knew that it takes the energy of a spirit to be Mother Teresa. Because when you meet three, four people in one place, you will see strange characters. If a spirit does not help you, I'm not saying you are not spiritual, but see, even if you are mopping, pray. Ask for the help of God. Because you may be mopping excitedly until somebody comes and hisses at what you are doing. And then the person is not even doing anything, goes to sit down and cross their leg. Where bitterness will rise from? You will be shocked. You are not doing anything and you can't as much as appreciate. You may be diligent, serving. You are the one mopping every day. Then maybe your leader shows up and then mistake you for somebody else. And he goes to appreciate somebody else. And the person does not even have the sincerity to say, no, I'm not the one. You will now stand and see your praise being given to somebody else. The way you will lose appetite for that work, you will be shocked. Maybe you enter the territory, you won the whole soul. When they came to church, they say, God has taken this region. And they go and shake somebody else. You were, I was there, sir. I'm not talking to you by, this is not theory. Many years ago, we were serving in a church. God's servant from headquarters gave instruction that everybody should go back to the training program. And so we went to foundation school again. And in this foundation school, they record best in academics, best in soul winning, best in partnership. I was buying Bibles. I was paying for Bibles that were being sent to India. I bought more Rhapsody than every... I was a leader for God's sake. So winning. We used to buy football. We take to football field, dash the ball, and use the opportunity to preach to the club. And then on Sunday, we use our money, charter buses, and bring them to church. When we graduated, in fact, I was already preaching. So I prayed for the secretary to the government, governor of Benue State. He came with his entourage. People came, the whole family, they sat down. I came with confidence. And the worst part is that we wore academic gown, we were separated. We sat alone. For me to receive all my awards that I deserved. My branch pastor forgot to submit my record. They were calling, best academic student, number three. I was encouraging number three because I knew I was number one. When the person came up, I said, this person tried. They called number two. The person I thought would be number two wasn't called. And I said, you didn't do well. When they say number one and they didn't call me, sweat started coming from here. Anytime you start sweating from here, know that what's happening to you, there's an attack. Your organs are about to fail. What is going on here? No problem. I will clear Rhapsody. Jesus Christ. I will clear that one. Clear other things. They enter so winning. Number three. Number two. Number one. I wasn't called. The whole of my eyes now were peppish because the volume of sweat had entered my eyeballs. I became like an angered bear. I stood there, all the hairs on my body stood straight. They entered ministry materials. Number three, number two, number one. They still didn't call me. Hey! You know the worst part? Pastor now said they will give awards, they will give certificate to everybody. So everybody was standing up. And we who were senior men, I came in last. Because most of these people, I warned them. I taught them foundations to before. I sat at the back. They called everybody. They collected certificate. They didn't call me. The place I sat at the back, it became like nakedness. I looked back. Everybody was seeing. Why did he wear the gown? What's he doing there? When I came out, I was angry. Then I heard in my spirit that I should go and sow a seed to the pastor. That was when tears came out like this. Because I wanted to. Is it not because I came here? You will never see me here again. I will go to where I'm appreciated. And God told me, go and sow a seed. He didn't even talk about the matter. That was the whole anger exploded. Tears came out like this. If you don't know, if this thing is not spiritual to you, you can't do it, sir. That's why, before you attack all these fathers, hey, what are they doing? You do it for 10 years first. You are doing all you know to do, and then all you receive is misunderstanding and insult. The reason you will continue is because a spirit will enable you. Even Jesus, the Bible said, and angels came and strengthened him. So if you want to serve, you must engage the spirit who is the governor of service. Otherwise, you can't go for long. So service is spiritual. I want you to understand this because I want to show you aspects of service. But no matter the aspect we itemize here, you must know that they all have their roots in the spirit. And you can't excel in it until you are spiritual. Because service is spiritual. So what are the aspects of service? Or areas of service? Number one, evangelism, soul winning, and discipleship. Remember, we said service is anything we do by the Spirit that brings glory to God or that advances His agenda on the face of the earth. And so the first area is soul winning. Matthew 28. Verse 18 to 20. Jesus appeared to the disciples after resurrection, and he said to them, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. So the first aspect of service is the aspect of soul winning. If we don't rise up to that occasion, the world will be lost. This is why Romans 10, 14 to 15. In fact, read from verse 13. They that call upon the name of the Lord, he said they shall be saved. So the whole world can be saved. But the question is in verse 14. If there are no men serving in that area, how can they be saved? He said, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a servant? So whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But somebody has to tell them about the Lord. Verse 15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? For it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. I began by telling you, John 20:21, as the Father have sent me, so send I you. 2 Corinthians 5:19, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses on them, but he gave them the word of reconciliation. So everyone that was saved to become an agent of preaching the gospel, so that others can be saved. So the first area of service is in the area of soul winning. The second area of service is in the area of prayer and intercession. Prayer. In this kingdom, there are few things as important in service as prayer. 1 Timothy 2 verse 1. It says, I urge. This is Paul speaking. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be what? Made for all men. Verse 8. Same scripture. For kings, okay, let's read verse 2. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Go to verse 8. He reiterated the same. I will therefore that all that men pray everywhere. So if you are saved, he says he's exhorting that you what? Pray and lift up holy hands without wrath or doubting. So the second area of service that we all must engage in is an area of prayer. In another place, Paul said, I thank my God whom I serve with my spirit. Romans 1 verse 9. Laboring for you in prayers. Service. Romans 1 verse 9. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his son. That's one. So we need. Then two. That without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers. Always. It's labor. Colossians 4:12. Epaphras is one of you, a born servant of Christ. How did he render service? Laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Epaphras. So you are a servant when you labor in prayer. And every one of us must undertake this venture. You read the Bible. Virtually every church that Paul pioneered, he kept praying for them. Virtually all of them. Ephesians 1 from verse 15 to 19, prayer. Ephesians 3, 15, prayer. Colossians 1, 6 to 9, prayers. You couldn't find a guy without prayers. So you don't pray, things can't work. In this kingdom, there are no two ways about it. We were taught in our early days, prayer is hard, but it's the only way. Why do you think so much talking in this generation, little is happening? You gather 2,000 messages of a preacher. He has argued all the doctrine, condemned every other preacher, but you are not transformed. That's head-to-head knowledge. If there's no prayer, I can't touch the spirit. I don't even know how people come to preach without praying. Some of us, our tongue is locked. I want to preach. I must roll before the Lord in prayer for hours. How do you pray? Where is the inspiration coming from? They come with concordance, with Greek and Hebrew, and argue and condemn everybody. Yet nothing is going on. Rather, we know and become puffed up and arrogant. Because the thing is not touching the heart, sir. If you are spiritual and you engage the altar, you can be an usher. The encounter will begin from the door. Somebody looks at you and smiles. Welcome to church. You will know that service is different. Somebody sings, worships here. You can't stand that. You will weep until you go home. It will be a flow, transmission of spirit life and weight of glory. Nowadays, even the anointed songs, when we sing it, is dry. Prayer. Everybody coming with gifts, and that's all there is to it. No. Even you will know. Nobody will remember that you sang. If you like, preach 10 hours. Nobody will remember you preached. Because there's no sting on the soul. But when they came down from the upper room, Peter narrated the story. The Bible said they were caught in their heart. What did he say? He narrated the same story they knew. But they were in the upper room. So you don't go to the field until you come from the upper room. And when they heard him, the Bible said in Acts 2:37, they were caught in their heart. Men and brethren. Because we are not given to prayer. That's why there's too much flesh. Two pastors are fighting. Choir, they are keeping money. The ushers, some can't look at themselves. Really? So what are you rendering here? You are conducting demons. Better take a break for a while. Because the substance of your soul is imparted. Glory to God. So the second area of service is in prayer. The third area of service is in corporate worship, or what you call the church. Serving in the house of God. Now, soul winning, prayer is general. You do it everywhere and anywhere. But there is a place where it is narrowed into the house of God. The Bible says to do good to all men, especially those who are of the household of faith. So there is a deeper requirement for service in the house of God. 1 Peter 4 verse 10. Elohim. Elohim. Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Time is moving too fast. So it said, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So when we come together as brethren, we render services to one another and to God in corporate expression. This is why Hebrews 10:24-25. It says to spur one another unto good works. Inspire one another. It says, let's consider one another and provoke unto love and good works. Verse 25. It says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. It says, but exhorting one another so much more as we see the day approaching. There are those who have developed some wise counsel in the spirit now that we don't need church, we don't need ourselves, we can stay aloof. Go and ask the lions. Although they are the kings of the jungle, they ask them how long they can survive without the pack. You go make firewood, remove one from the bunch, keep the ones in the bunch and hold the one that is separate, and tell me which one will quench faster. Funny talk. It said, behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in harmony. Psalm 133 verse 1 to 3. It's like the oil flowing from the head of Aaron to his beard, down to his head. It's like the dew upon Mount Zion. There the Lord commands his blessing. Matthew chapter 18 verse 18 to 20. Wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Whatever they bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever they lose, whatever they bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever they lose on earth is loosed in heaven. So there is a place for corporate service. And you must render yours in the likeness and the similitude of time required service, energy required service, and resources required service. You must render yours. This has been the culture from time immemorial. So there is corporate service in the house of God. And to open it up a bit, we look at fourth area of service, both in church and outside church, is in giving and supporting the works of God. Luke 8, verse 1 to 3. Service. So there's prayer, there's soul winning, and there's giving. A subject so bastardized, yet must be preached. Because if we don't do it, the agenda of God will be halted. And nobody is coming outside to do it. It's not their revelation, it's not their body. We sponsor the agenda of our Father. And it came to pass afterward that he went through every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. How did he go? And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward. Hope you know it didn't say Herod. Because Herod will never. He's the one that comes to church that sponsors God's agenda. And Susanna, he now added, and many others. He specified these ones because they received of his ministry. Then he went to, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. This is kingdom service. Philippians 4, 15 to 19. Concerning giving and receiving. When I left. And now here Philippians also know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. Next verse. For even in Thessalonica, ye spent once and again unto my necessity. It is not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. I don't have time for all of this one, because it's for the mature. It said, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor, a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable and well pleasing to God. So their giving was a sacrifice acceptable and well pleasing to God. On the strength of this, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You know, we formulated a mantra from here that we spend from glory. And many love it. But you see, those who spend from glory are the ones who give for kingdom advancement. You don't serve with your finances. You can't be supernaturally helped. Not because it's not available, but because your faith can't access it. So we are not teaching transactional gospel, but we are showing you truth that can never be obliterated from the counsel of God. I've taught you here, giving is an act of honor. Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with your substance, with the first fruit of your increase. Number 2, I say giving is an act of love. Matthew 6:21, where a man's treasure is, there his heart is. I've told you here, giving is an act of worship. Genesis 22 verse 5. Abraham was going to offer Isaac. I'm going up with a young lad to worship. And then I said, giving is a responsibility for the mature. Those who have seen that if we don't give, kingdom can't advance. He said, cry out. Zechariah 1:17. My kingdom through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad. Deuteronomy 8:18. Thou shalt remember the Lord your God. It is him that giveth the power to get wealth, to establish his covenant. How do you think crusades are done? We pray, we preach, but money sponsors it first. There's no money, there can be no vision for crusades. Because speakers are not brought by tongues, they are brought by money. Publicity is done by money. Even in the days of Jesus, Luke 8:1-3, the only way he could go from city to village to preach was because people gave. So don't tell me about this hypocritical religiosity that, oh, you don't have the right to teach people about giving. How do you prove your love for God? How do you prove that your heart is in the kingdom when your resources are not there? How does kingdom go forward? Do you know anything on earth that is viral or making impact that is not sponsored by money? Think of one. So when you say resources shouldn't be given for gospel, you are antichrist. You are fighting the move of God's kingdom. And I'm not making a case for those who have bastardized it. But I'm saying, from the death of Jesus, they gave for the Son of God to preach. Till date, God expects us to give for the gospel to be preached. Glory to God. So, the fourth area of service is what? In giving. For missions. The first area is in soul winning. You go out and win souls yourself and also participate in discipleship. The second area is in prayers, interceding for God's kingdom to advance. The third area is in service in the house of God like we are gathered now. The fourth area is in giving for missions. And then the fifth area is in carrying out acts of charity. So you don't only give for missions. God also expects you to give to the poor. It's an act of service unto God. Proverbs 19:17. He that hath pity on the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he has given will he pay him again. So when we carry out acts of kindness, acts of charity, it's also a kingdom-oriented service. And here, we do it at individual level, and we also do it at corporate level. We have visitations to orphanages, visitations to villages where they don't have basic amenities. And as God empowers us, we keep doing it. We have medical outreaches where we give medical facilities and treatments to people because it's part of service. So by all means, make sure you are vitally involved in one way or the other. So when they say, let's go out for soul winning, don't make the mistake of assuming it's for the poor. Because when you say, Saturday is soul winning, people assume that it's the poor members of the church that go out for soul winning. You make out time to be there. When we say pray, don't assume it's for those who have need. Less than 20% of prayer is for your need. Greater dimension of prayer is for kingdom. When we say serve in the house of God, don't assume it's for those who don't have what to do. And when we say give, don't assume it's for the rich. Because the rich think so winning is for the poor. And the poor think giving is for the rich. The poor widow gave her all. Jesus acknowledged it, received it, and appreciated it. There are people who think it's when we have to spare that we give to God. Is that in itself, is it not an insult? So God is the one, you give what you have to spare. How can that be worship? How can that be honor? And how can what you have to spare advance kingdom? What is the faith in it? And then, service does not begin and end in church. In your neighborhood, when you find the poor, bless them. I've taught you many times here. Somebody say he's a giver. He's a giver. And he goes to the filling station. He sees a young lady who should be in school. Obviously, can't pay school fees. That's why she's there. And he still collects change of 50 naira. It never crossed your mind to say, why are you not in school and help? You are driving in an air-conditioned car. You're almost frozen in that car. You see somebody selling maize. The 10 naira change, you remain. They don't even have. You say, doctor. They will cross road, look for, and bring back. And you are there, say, this world, you have to work for what you work for. You have to. If you work for everything you have, you will die. So you give to the poor. I told you a sad story. Many years ago, we were in church. In leaders' meeting. And we were very young then. Some of us were champions of soul winning. And then there were some other big guys, bankers, you know, Air Force officers, who were the busy guys. So, why we support with soul winning? They support with finance. But the whole thing was bastardized because it became about who pastor we see and praise. So there was a leader who couldn't pay school fees. He asked a fellow leader. They want, you know, when we are building, we hold different way. Ask the other guy if he could support him complete his fees. They say he doesn't have. And then we enter meeting. Pastor said they need money for something. He stood up, mighty man. Say he will clear it. He will clear it. That's not a believer. That's a hypocrite. Because there was no heart for another, a fellow soldier. But he was giving for his ego. He wasn't giving because of the love of God. So that they will clap. Ah, yeah. God servant. God servant. Mighty man. Don't be like that. Give permission and also have a heart for the poor. Because you are giving, not just because you are taking responsibility, but because the love of God also compels you. And if that love is genuine, it will move you when you see the helpless. So these are five major areas where we serve. Now you take a minute and have an in-depth, sober reflection. Which of these areas have you, to a large extent, perfected? I'm trying to show you, help you see for yourself your relevance in God's kingdom. Because most of us are bench warmers in church. How many souls are you directly or indirectly responsible for in God's kingdom? If you have not reached the level of uncountable figure, then you are joking. How much commitment do you have in prayer for the advancement of God's kingdom? You have been in the house of God for more than 6 months. Which area are you serving? And then, in all that God is doing around the world, how much of it is your resource part of? And then how much charity have you bestowed on those around you? You analyze yourself and tell yourself whether you are relevant in God's kingdom or whether you are just part of the consumers who keep coming to use God. No, this is an apostolic place, so we can say it the way it is. If service makes you relevant, are you relevant? Are you involved in soul winning? Are you involved in prayer? Are you involved in serving in the house of God to ensure that worship goes up to heaven? Are you involved in giving to sponsor God's agenda? And how many helpless people has your life helped or been a blessing to? You may not just be as important as you think you are. Important because God loves you, sent Jesus to save you, but completely irrelevant because you have no stake as far as God's kingdom is concerned. And if you are in that place, this message is a call for you to make amends. Have a time for prayer, either congregationally or individually. Have a portion of your resources go for kingdom advancement. be part of soul winning campaign and discipleship. And be part of service in the house of God. And make sure your life blesses another helpless person. These are the areas of service. As we speed up, what is the attitude God expects of everyone serving in the kingdom? Number one is humility. Philippians 2, from verse 1 to 10. This is self-explained. We'll just read scriptures and we go. It said, Philippians 2. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Verse 3 is where my emphasis begins. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others more or better than themselves. Verse 4. It says, look not every man on his own thing, but every man on the thing of others. He now took it a bit further by giving us the example of Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What is the mind? Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. What it means is that he didn't cling to that position or privilege. He said, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the shameful death of a criminal. So in service, God expects humility. This is why Jesus was speaking, and I quoted for you already, John 13, 14 and 15. He said, if I, who is your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, he said, you also ought to wash one another's feet. I am your Master. I am your Lord. But I humbled myself. And in the next verse, it says, for I have given you this as an example. Service is not a place to boss yourself and give instructions. Some people, all they need to know is to cross leg. And you do this, you do that, you do. Doing nothing. That's why they never grow. And as I talk about levels of service, you will see, we begin with servanthood. And some people have remained there for 10 years. So the first attitude towards service is humility. The second attitude towards service is willingness and obedience. You shouldn't be coerced to serve. Colossians 3, 23 to 24. Don't be coerced. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. In the kingdom, don't be persuaded. Don't be coerced. Don't be motivated to serve. Be self-motivated. He said, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive a reward, the reward of the inheritance, and ye serve the Lord Christ. When God needed his people to build a tent for him, Exodus 35, 29. Look at the way Moses put it. And the children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of works which the Lord commanded to be made brought to Moses. It was of a willing heart. If you want your services to be accepted, it must be done with a disposition of humility, and it must be done from the place of willingness. Number three, what is the attitude God expects in service? Is the attitude of love. Love and compassion. Galatians 5:13. Love and compassion. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use your liberty for an occasion of the flesh. He said, but by love, serve one another. Service should be love motivated. Colossians 13, verse 1 to 3. See the way Paul puts it. No matter how powerful what you are doing is, if there's no love, it's a waste. He said, for brethren, Colossians 13, 1 to 3. Quickly, I'm running for time. First Corinthians 13, forgive me, verse 1 to 3. The guy was surprised. Has he added more chapters to the Bible? No, sir, I can't. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, that's love, I am become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. I told you prayer is service. No matter how much prayer, all this prayer that we are praying, but there's malice, there's hatred, there's gossip. He said, it's what? A clanging cymbal. The way they hit drum, gong, gong, gong. That's what you are doing. If you like sweat, let your whole suit be wet. This is where your prayer begins and ends. Clanging cymbal. Malahala, hiba, hibakaba, hibakaba, hiba. Malababa. You are a drama king. They pray 7 hours. Church closed. They are going. They can't talk to themselves. The person is singing, I need you. I need you. He needs that cry. When he finished, he's still keeping malice with the director. The way we act drama in church, angels will be watching. Why is no incense rising? There's so much loud keyboard. So much drum, but they are checking because what goes to heaven as a report card are the incense. It said the prayers of the saints, they are sent to heaven as orders. Morakatakaya. The prayers of the saints, they ascend, they ascend. It's not sound, they ascend to heaven as orders, fragrances. Those fragrances are the chapters of your heart. And it said they are stored in golden fire. Marokata Elegakina. I will not pray without odors, without fragrances. You are shouting, but the odor is malice. You are shouting, the odor is pride. This is why much prayer, no result. Pride, malice, animosity, bitterness. That's what is being perceived. The bias can't accommodate that. The prayers. Let's leave that so that we don't. I want to teach like a lecturer. So there must be love in kingdom service. Verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy, I understand all mysteries and all knowledge. Though I have faith, I can remove mountains. If I have not love, I'm nothing. If you like, come and tell us word of knowledge for 10 hours. Preach all the mysteries. Talk about the 24 elders, the archangel, the pre-Adamic age. He said, if there's no love, you are nothing. People will clap hands, it will end there. There's no report in Zion. And the one that scared me the most is verse 3. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. So people can give without love? Yes. I give my body to be burned. That's a martyr. He said, if I have not love, it profited me nothing. So in kingdom context, service must be inspired by love. We hate ourselves too much to be relevant with God. A man of God can preach for 2 weeks. He's trying to paint somebody black. 2 weeks. And he says he's the best preacher. He knows theology. Yes, you are a theologian. His whole goal And nowadays, it's even worse. Every revelation on the internet now is to discredit somebody. This doctor is wrong. This person is wrong. This one. These are clanging cymbals. Because there's no love. Because if it's their pastor, that's not how they'll correct him. If it's their children, that's not how they'll correct them. If it's their father, that's not how they'll correct them. But when you are in the body of Christ, you can be disgraced. You have not prayed for somebody, you want to correct it. I want to correct somebody, you are correcting him in a way that everybody will paint him black and he will never become anything. Meanwhile, if they correct you like that, you won't want it. Drama all over the place. Attitudes towards service. Number four, faithfulness and diligence. Careless service in this kingdom is not permitted. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 1 and 2. God sees you as a steward. So he expects so much faithfulness and so much diligence. This is why even promotion in this kingdom is tied to faithfulness. Let a man account of us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Don't do eye service. Some people will only do it if somebody is seeing them. That's not service. So they are not committed to the cause. Some will only do it if there is an immediate reward or benefit. That's why some people will not sing well until they're on the stage. They won't pray well until they are leading prayer. They won't do that assignment until they are the leader. Because it's about gain, not the purpose. We need faithfulness. That's what God looks out for. If he can't find faithfulness, then he can't approve of it. Matthew 25:21. Well done. Good and faithful servant. And I told you, good means two things. Number one, your heart posture is right. And number two, you have competence to do the job. So everybody serving, God expects the right heart posture and God expects competence. So don't say, it's God, so you do it anyhow. No way. That's why it's good and faithful servant. Faithful means you are committed to the cause. Whether there's reward or not, you will do it. Whether there's supervision or not, you will give your all. You don't give your all when who is in charge is around. And when God sees that, he opens doors for you. He exalts you in the kingdom. In Proverbs 22:29, it says, "Seest thou a man diligent in his business? That one stands before kings, not mere men." In Luke 16:10-12, it says, if you are not faithful in little, you can't be faithful in much. So much can be committed to an unfaithful person. Attitudes towards service, passion, and enthusiasm. God expects you to be joyous. Don't serve moody. If you have a problem, sit down first. Receive an encounter. Don't transmit your moody, discouraged, and disoriented posture to somebody else. And us as in church, somebody is coming, happy to come to God's house. Hey, well done. There must be passion and there must be enthusiasm. He said, with joy, you draw waters from the wells of salvation. With joy. With joy. Isaiah 12:3. Romans 12:11. He said, be fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. So there is enthusiasm, motivation, and passion. Jesus said in John 2:17, the zeal of my Father's house have consumed me. I do it with passion. When you see some people serving God, it's so unattractive. They are doing it as if they are dying on top of it. Oh, Gaza. Eat food first now. When you pray, eat. If the physical energy, let's understand what's going on. There should be enthusiasm. Because these things are communicable. People should contact your passion for God. If you are praying and somebody is tired, when he looks at you, there's something we hit the bell. Those days, they told us why we pray together is because we draw from ourselves. So you are praying for 3 hours. You want to sit down. Then you see another person. Mantaka pakara, hirakaya. As you are looking at the person, something is happening to you. Sometimes you are worshipping. You see somebody has lost. Oh, Allah. You are wondering, what is he telling? What relationship? Oh, God, help me to increase my own relationship with you. That's how it works. People should see you and be turned on for God. Not that when they see you, they now have a reason why they too should relax. The guy wanted to sit down. When he turned, you are... He say, if they have Abba, no wonder. And that means I can sit here. If somebody is sleeping, me, I'm better. I'm better now. Don't be like that. Somebody came to church with a charged spirit to worship God. You who is leading, you are singing, your hand is... They will sit on you first. Passion. 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 Number 6. Aptitude for service. Perseverance and patience. In Galatians 6:9. It says, and let us not be weary in well doing. It says, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Don't be weary. Don't be weary. In James 1:12, it blesses the man who endures even trials in service. Persevere. People will hate you. People will mock you. People will offend you. There are certain expectations that may not be actualized. Persevere. Don't come and tell God, I was serving you. I thought you'd give me a child. It's 3 years now. I'm tired. No. Persevere. Is it because I'm doing this that everybody thinks they can talk to me? Persevere. Let them insult you. They are not your rewarders. Let them mock you. You are not serving them. Persevere. You must build tenacity in service that trials can break your spirit. Misunderstanding. Somebody sent me a message during my birthday. And he told me, he said, I have seen you weather the storms of bitterness and evil desire. You have inspired me. Some of you are still on that. God has not exalted your home and you are already tired. You wait until 10 bloggers are on your matter. And everything they are saying, they misunderstood you. And they are making every effort to paint you black. And you still need to be on fire with passion. Persevere. You've not been misunderstood before. How many people have ganged up to discredit you? How many people are fighting you that your ministry will survive? You don't know what men carry on their shoulders by the strength of God to stand and bless the generation. Persevere. You are in choir, they offend you, you leave. And you want to lead the body of Christ. Are you not a joker? If ushering unit, you can't survive the challenges there. You can't survive the opposition. Is it the body of Christ you think you'll be a captain of one day? Even if your name is written, you will delete it yourself. If you can't survive, you must develop a thick skin in service. You develop it to a level that even if God tells you I'm disappointed, you won't go. You say, help me, Lord, to do better. That's how you serve. Persevere. And then number 7. Develop. Number 8. Develop a servant heart posture. And always be selfless. A servant is not only humble, he is selfless, expecting nothing. Those who are easily disappointed or offended are those who are highly entitled. And that's why they don't go far. Jesus had that heart posture. Mark 10:45. The Son of Man did not come to be served. He came to serve. Paul had that mind, heart posture. Philippians 2:3. Let nothing be done out of strife or vainglory. In lowliness of mind, esteem others more than yourself. It's a posture of those who excel in service and qualify for the reward. I don't know why God has asked me to teach this, but God is out for somebody not to lose his reward. Because some of you are about to be tired. Some of you are about to be offended. And you are about to miss what has been planned for you. You don't know what it takes out of 8 billion people for God to locate you for salvation. And then for the Holy Ghost to inspire you and position you in a precise location for service. You don't know what it means. That's not something you handle carelessly. The last place I was serving, several times, I had to kneel down to beg for what I didn't do. But I told myself, until God tells me move, nobody can take me from here. Accused, innocent. People are rising to fight for me. This is not true. Don't worry. Even if you prove I'm right, it doesn't add anything to me. I go and kneel down and beg. Innocent. Some, they don't even tell me. Somebody said something and you are punished for months. I'm sorry. When it was time to move, that was when the Holy Ghost told me the minimum years of service is 7. I never knew it from anywhere. He said the world was created in 6 days. The 7th day God rested. He said Jacob served for his wife for 7 years. He qualified for it. He said now you have hit 7. You can move. Even if you like it or not, I take my inheritance. You can't collect it. But if there was no tenacity, I would have left at the 3rd year. But you must have a servant heart posture. Today, if you like, wish me bad. You can't stop me. Prophesy death. Prophesy evil. It can't work. Gang up. It can't work. Because I passed the test. So I teach you what I know by experience. All this peacockish mentality. Any little offense, you fold yourself. You will be in one spot for your lifetime. But that will not be your portion. And you know the irony of it? At the end of the day, after a short period of time, the Holy Ghost comes in and restores every error and brings peace. But the people that allow Satan to use them, they now get lost from the radar. Don't let anything take you off the mark. Like Paul focused. He said, I press for the mark of the high calling. I press. And that's my last point. Focus. 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 He said, if your eyes be single, he said, your whole body will be filled with light. Most times, the reason you are distracted or offended is because you are not focused. Some of us who are pursuing something, you can't get my attention, sir. I made up my mind. I will make my mark in my generation. The things some of us have been pursuing are too big to even hear what somebody is saying, sir. I've not started raising the dead casually. Cripples are not walking. I'm not preaching like Billy Graham. And some people who caught the fire have maintained it for 40 years. See, when you hear the testimony of our fathers, you weep. A man was preaching only the cross. The cross. The cross. Not many messages. The cross. But stadiums are packed in every meeting. And people will come after 25 years and said, I heard your message. I'm on fire till today. What is he saying? You are preaching to people after 3 months they fall. You have not gotten there, sir. I saw videos of A.A. Allen. He carried a boy. The two legs were like rubber. In before camera. Stretch your hand. They prayed less than 2 minutes. Thank you, Jesus. Put the guy on the ground. You saw leg build strength and he started walking. I saw Jaco help somebody who had cancer on camera. Father, in the name of Jesus, before he finished praying, cancer came out. And then I say, I'm a preacher. I've not seen any of those things. And I have time for malice. I have time for gossip. I've not achieved anything. Where's the gossip? When Billy Graham was rounding up, he had a crusade. There were overflows in other stadiums. What is he preaching? You can't afford that. Whichever area God has planted you, when you see what others have done, and the Bible said, behind them is a desolate wilderness. Before them is the garden of the Lord. Knowing that you are expected to do more, you will know you don't have time. You go to redemption camp and see what pastors are doing. Church auditorium is 3 kilometers by 3 kilometers. It's packed. So it's not ambition. We need big auditorium. No. We need space for people to hear God's word. And overflow is 1 kilometer by 1 kilometer. In your generation. And you organize your meeting. 30 people come. You are preaching about somebody. How many souls have you won? Let alone the one you are discipling. Your whole record of soul winning in your life. That overflow is bigger than it. And you have time. Some of us, we have read and seen too much to have time for nonsense. There's no time. We are focused. We are too focused. I'm focused to a fault. My wife lives with me. She will tell you. This person said this. No time to hear. Look at what this person wrote. No time. Let him keep writing. After 10 years, when we meet, we'll talk. If I'm reading what you are writing, then I'm behind you. I don't have time. Keep writing. I only listen to my mentors. Ask those who are around me, they will tell you. If I sit on anything, that person is teaching me. No time. No time. Be focused. Be focused. We are about too much. So we miss even the one God gives us. The guy said, my master gave me a servant to keep. 1 Kings 20:40. As I was busy here and there, I lost him. Some, even the one God gave them, they've lost it. No focus. Attitude for service. As I round up. I need 15 more minutes. So that I will finish this subject today. What are the levels of service? Because as you serve, God promotes you. There are 4 basic levels for service. Number 1, which is the entry level, is the level of servanthood. The level of servanthood. This is the level where your requirement is humility, availability, and consistency. You are always there. You are humble at it and you are available. If you have not attained this level, God can't recruit you. Because God always begins with servants. Servants. You saw Philippians 2. Even Jesus, the Son of God, who himself is God, had to come back to this entry level. Philippians 2 from verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ, who being equal with God, did not count it robbery. Philippians 2 verse 5. Read that. Do we have NIV? Or the message? Let's do message. Message. I'm talking servanthood now. So let me use a version that exemplifies it. This is God who came to serve. He had to come to this entry level. Some of us have become like peacock.
I gave this person word of knowledge. I gave that one. And when I was praying, people fell under the power. And so what? You have become bishop. You will stop there. You will watch people behind you pass and take their generation. He said, think of yourselves the way Jesus Christ thought of himself. How? Verse 6. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status, no matter what. No matter what. Next verse. Not at all. When the time came for service, he set aside. You may come in as a governor. You may come in as a senator. You may come in as a prophet. You may come in as a billionaire. But when the time comes, you must set aside those privileges. He said he set aside the privileges of deity and took the status of a slave. Became human. Verse 7, verse 8. Having become human, he stayed so. So it's not something you do once in a while. Set aside that your title. Set aside that your privilege. When you want to serve God. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Don't come to the place of service and tell us how you should be treated. Not any one of us have that right. Most of us can't go far with God because we want to dictate how to be treated. You are not ready to serve. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death. The worst kind of death. So if you are serving, even if it's in the worst position or you are being given the worst treatment, your focus should be God. This is the entry requirement for service. And so if you have not started from here, you have not yet entered the cadre of kingdom service. A servanthood. Servanthood. Now, after servanthood, then you go to stewardship. Because when God sees that you have perfected this, he now begins to entrust things to you. Now that he's entrusting things to you, he expects you to be a steward. That means you are moving from just being a servant to a manager. So he expects you to handle his affairs in a productive manner. Nothing of God should waste in your care. This is where God now considers faithfulness and competence. That's why I told you. He said, thou good and faithful servant. Matthew 25:21. So he's expecting what? A level of competence, capacity to manage. So a time will come where God will tell you, that anointing I gave you, what did you do with it? That influence, what did you do with it? That grace, what did you do with it? The people I allowed to walk with you, what did you do with them? Management becomes key here. This is why those who can manage spiritual things, they end up losing rank. You go read about Jesus. John 6, verse 11. He multiplied bread. You think it's over. When they finished, he said, gather every fragment. Not every loaf. Every fragment. Let nothing be wasted. You know why most of us can't grow in service? We have perfected servanthood. Yes, we are humble. Yes, we are obedient. Yes, we are committed. But we are wasters. The grace on your life, wasted. Kingdom resources, wasted. Ask those who work with us here. Every one naira, you must report it. If it's my money, we can be a bit, last hand. But if it's kingdom, you will account for every one naira. Because any area where you lose management capacity, you begin to struggle. And you won't rise beyond that level. Paul said, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1 to 2. He said, let everyone account of us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. And he said, it is expected of every steward that a man be found faithful. Most of us have had many opportunities we wasted. Most of us, the influence God gives you influence. All you are using with it is to upload pictures. Every day you wear a new clothes. You make your hair. You are snapping. That's all you do with your influence. Kingdom is not being advanced. Souls are not being won. A point will come, you become stunted. And there are those who even merchandise the influence God gave them. God is a businessman. A business being, rather. Everything he gives you, he expects multiplication. The first time he gave man influence, he said in Genesis 1:28, be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue the earth, have dominion. Most of us, we are wondering, Father, I have not fallen into sin. Yes, I'm humble, I'm obedient, I'm committed. Why are we not growing? What did you do with the last thing I gave you? You are a church of 20 people. You have not managed the people to grow their spiritual life. You have not taught them the kingdom to apply it. They are not becoming anything. And you are waiting for 1,000. If you can't manage 20, who will give you 1,000? If you are not faithful in little, you can't be faithful in much. If you are not faithful in that which is another, who will give you yours? That's kingdom. He gave some servants talents. One had one. The other had two. The other had five. The one with five multiplied to 10. The one with two multiplied to 4. The guy that had one buried it when the master came. He wanted to even accuse the master. And he said, take it from him. You will think the guy who had one and who couldn't multiply it, they should have mercy on him and add another. He said, collect it, give to the guy that has 10. Everybody was shocked. That guy already has more than enough. He said, in this kingdom, him that has and desires to have more, he said, more will be given to him. And he said, him that has not and desires not to have, even the little he has will be taken from him and given to the one that has more and wants to have much more. So if you are serving, you must be mindful that there is a time you will come to that your promotion will be based on how well you manage what God gave you. Stewardship. Then from stewardship, you have sonship. John 8:35. Sonship. In sonship, God wants to now give you authority. But this authority is tied to your intimacy and heart posture. He wants to begin to now understand your connection with him. Because you can be humble and obedient because you are looking for gain. So a servant can serve because of what he has to take from it. Transaction. A manager can serve because he's competent and he can gain something. But when you become a son, it's no more about gain. It's about God. So a point comes when God begins to veto your service based on your connection with him. You are not singing because there is a platform where you will be seen. You are connecting to him, pouring love and affection. There's a level where you sing, God will see your ability and open some doors. There's another level where you sing. If your heart is not to his heart, if you like, sing and kill yourself, you will go nowhere. Because in service, we grow to sonship. He said, if the Son therefore maketh you free. No, go to 35. That's not what I'm looking for. Talking about abiding. The servant abided not in the house. He said, but the Son abided forever. The servant may be humble. He may be obedient. He may be committed. He's looking for something. He's looking for fame. He's looking for influence. He's looking for money. And when the money comes, the commitment reduces. A manager may be committed because he's skillful and he enjoys that position. Because he's that's his occupation. That's his profession. But a son is serving his father. It's about love, adoration, connection, and commitment. That's why the reward of the son is that he abides in the house forever. So I'm not here for what I can get. I'm here because this is home. When God now sees this, then he reveals himself to you. Because your pursuit is not things but God. So this is the level where you serve because of God. And it's the third cadre in service. This is where God begins to give men true authority. Because when you serve God because of God, God will now reveal himself to you. And if God reveals himself to you, you'll become like him. And if you become like him, then you represent him. So it is intimacy that produces authority. That's why when he created man, he made him in his image and he had dominion. So it's an intimacy that makes you see God. And as you see God, you become like God. And as you become like God, you exercise God's authority. This is where men truly begin to have power in families. But many never get here. Because they are not doing it because of God. They are doing it because of something other than God. You know, many times people look at you and ask you, what is your consecration? What are you doing that God is helping you like this? Ask many people that have true influence over their generation. If you ask them what is powering them, what is motivating them, they don't know. God is their pursuit. They are satisfied when they have intimacy. They are satisfied when they have encounters. When they are satisfied when the Father is pleased. That's their goal. And the more they remain like that, the more God gives them what others look for. That's why it says, seek ye first the kingdom. That is God and his purpose. And he says, all other things shall be added. Service cadres. From servanthood to stewardship to sonship. Then finally, to prophetic and apostolic service. This is where God now gives you the kingdom. I have seen that you came here because of me. So now I'm entrusting the kingdom to you. You represent me anywhere else you go to. That's what we call apostolic service. Because here, the focus is capacity to exert divine influence. When a man enters apostolic level of service, anything he's doing can bring God's influence. And on account of that influence, there are territorial shifts. He can change culture. On account of that influence, he can bring transformation. So that guy is singing, people are having encounters. That guy is talking, people are making decisions to serving God. That guy enters the territory, he shifts the atmosphere and alters the paradigm. Even the culture of the people can be changed. Because he came with a government. This is service that brings spiritual governance. When a man shows up, when a woman shows up, who has entered apostolic faith of service, he can bring God's kingdom there. Cultures change. Transformations happen. Territories shift because of his presence. That man's presence literally looks like God, God's presence. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. When I show up, it's as good as Christ has come. It's an entrustment that God gives him. That's not just an heir who is a child. That's an heir that has grown. And grown to a level where God can entrust kingdom to. So the first thing about apostolic service is power for spiritual governance. This is the level of service that can change a generation. But unfortunately, very few have gotten here. In fact, most who try stop at the level of stewardship. They can use their gift to become anything. But you wonder why they are big, but the kingdom is not big. Because they've not grown to apostolic phase of service. And then when you have apostolic governance or spiritual governance, then you have what we call apostolic succession. In apostolic succession, you can transfer God's heritage to another generation. It said, the ways of God will be taught to one generation by another. The things that you have received from me before many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. 2 Timothy 2 verse 2. So a point comes when there are certain men that Because they are on earth, the agenda of God will never stop. That's apostolic succession. They can transfer authority. They can transfer secrets. They can transfer spiritual inheritance. They can sustain divine posterity. This is what God wants to do with us. That's why when he said, "Thy kingdom come," he was looking at men. And when he left, the Bible says, "Who shall declare his generation?" 12 men rose up. And on account of their presence, the same thing Jesus was doing when he was around never stopped. It continued. Apostolic succession. Graces are transferred. Authorities are transferred. Secrets are transferred. Dimensions are transferred from one generation to another. You will not have that power until you have gotten there. You go check. How did you think the promises of God to the patriarchs were sustained? When a man wants to die, say, "Come, I will give you this heritage." And they could impart it. So Abraham imparted Isaac. Isaac imparted Jacob. Jacob imparted Judah. And you never find a breach, because men that have rank showed up. So when we say service, it is beyond, if you serve the Lord your God, he will bless your bread and your water. No, it's deeper than that. You grow to become a prince in Zion, because you were created to be a prince. You must enter a place where God can give you your own jurisdiction, either in a territory or in a generation, so that it can be said concerning you like John, until the time of John. The man grew to the level of apostolic governance. A whole generation was withered to him until the time of John. You go read the book of Judges. In the days of Shamgar, in the days of Deborah, in they name seasons and dispensations after men, because they are the symbols of God for those generations. I speak over someone here. Anything truncating your service, anything frustrating your service, they will go down tonight. Come on, give me that song. I'm sensing some bubbling.
Keep it burning. Until the coming of the King. Give me oil in my lamp. May my light never be dim. Keep me burning. Until the coming of the King.
The anointing too much. Write these things down. Go and meditate on them. Somebody is getting ready to receive something. Receive the word today. 7 rewards of service. List them and go home with it. Number 1, divine favor and blessings. Divine favor and blessings. Job 36 verse 11. If you obey and serve him, you will spend your days in prosperity and your years in pleasure. Exodus 23:25. You shall serve the Lord your God. He shall bless your bread and your water and remove sickness from the midst of thee. Now in Christ, all of these things are already available, but these things are also our key precursors to activating them. That's why not all born again Christians are in pleasure. Some respond to revelation. Others respond to obedience. Others respond to faith. Others respond to service. So these scriptures are still sacrosanct. Number 2, promotion and honor. 1 Samuel 2:30. Him that honors me, I will honor. Him that despises me shall be lightly esteemed. Proverbs 22:29. Seest thou a man diligent in his business, he will stand before kings and not before men. Luke 6:16:10. If you are not faithful in little, you can't be faithful in much. So service brings promotion and honor. Number three, protection and deliverance. Psalm 91 verse 14 and 15. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. Verse 15. He shall call upon my name and I will answer, and I will be with him in trouble and deliver him and honor him. He has set his affection upon my name. This guy lives to please me. He lives to serve me. And you see many examples like that in scripture. People like Paul were serving the Lord, arrested, flogged, beaten and thrown into prison. Acts 16:25. At midnight, they prayed. They sang praises. An angel descended. Open the door of the prison. You can't keep in captivity men who serve God. Either in soul winning, or in prayer, or in giving for kingdom advancement. You can't bound them. Or in the house of God. Or in charity towards the oppressed. No, you can't keep them in one place. There is a force that governs their life. Number four. Growth. Spiritual growth. Both in essence and in resources. I already quoted Luke 16:10. If you are faithful in little, much must come, and you will be faithful in much. Acts chapter 6, verse 3 and verse 8. Select for us three men of honest report, full of wisdom and the Holy Ghost, that we may appoint unto this service. Stephen was one of them. And in Acts 6, verse 8, we saw this same Stephen. The Bible said he was full of faith and power. And did great wonders and miracles. You ask those who go out for mission here. They see things they've never seen before in their comfort zone. We were in Cameroon when Mommy Chidima showed up. We were overwhelmed. Demons everywhere. We needed people to join. She was not ordained. But people needed to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Demons needed to be cast out. Woman of God showed up. Stretched hand in one direction. A lady went under the power. What is going on here? She showed up. Another person went under the power. The next person she confronted, she said, such as I carry. Such as I have, I give you. Power was moving. How many of you have seen headache healed in your house? But the moment you go out for soul winning, partial blindness, deafness, opening. Because when you start serving, he is with you and he walks with you. And the Lord walking with them. Mark 16:20, confirming the word with signs and wonders. You don't starve. That's why you don't grow in spiritual things. Paul said, my little children, of whom I travail again in prayers or in birth until Christ is formed in you. Galatians 6:17 or 19 now. Check it. Number five, earthly and eternal rewards. Hebrews 6:10. Revelations 22:12. Hebrews 6:10. Reward is for those who serve. For God is not unrighteous to forget, not your salvation, to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Revelations 22:12. Behold, I come quickly. And I come with my reward in my hand to give to every man according to, not his salvation, according to his works. So when you are walking, you are setting yourself up for reward. Number six, joy and fulfillment. Psalm 100 verse 2, it says, serve the Lord with gladness and before his presence with singing. Serve the Lord with gladness. Service brings eternal joy. He brings it. In John 15:11, I have told you this, that your joy, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. What did he tell them? How to overcome the world. Which is service. Born of God, service in the kingdom, overcome the world, and your joy is complete. Because of our time, I will stop here. But go and read Go and listen to the message I preached titled 12 Rewards of Eternity. And you'll find more and more rewards there. The Bible said in Daniel 12, if you read from verse 3, it said they that turn many to righteousness, which is also a type of service. It said they shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to salvation as the stars forever. In 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8, Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. It said, now there remaineth for me a crown of life. He didn't say, I am born again. I believe in Jesus. So now there remaineth for me a crown of life. No. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my race. I have kept the faith. Service is a calling. Service is a response to God's command. And service is an opportunity to harness in all that God has in store for his children. Can we rise up to our feet and make our commitment one more time?
Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Tonight is fourfold. God is looking for men that are willing to give their heart for service. Number two, God is looking for men that are willing to give their time for service. Number three, God is looking for men that are willing to give their energy for service. And number four, God is looking for men that are willing to give their resources for service. If you are in that category tonight, on ground, online, this is the opportunity. Lift your hand and make your commitment to Jesus. Even those of us who are serving, we know there is more. And so we still make more commitment. I don't know about you, but me, I set targets. I set targets. And I set targets that are really big. I hit some. Others I don't hit. But if I don't hit it, I stretch further. Even as a ministry, we have targets. We are on a campaign now to win 5 billion souls. It's all. I have targets of time that I give for God. Both in the mission field or in His presence. I have targets of resources that I give to God. Lord, as you empower me this year, I will give you this much. Last year, those who were with me heard me. I say, I'm giving God 500 million. I don't just do things randomly. No, there is a target. Monthly, yearly. And then my energy. Oh, I read the scripture many years ago. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. He said, for the time cometh, the evil day, when you will be carried to where you don't want to go to. I say, now that nobody is carrying me, I will carry myself everywhere I need to serve God. My energy is for God. And my heart, my wife was telling me, even this evening when we were coming, say, you are a strong man. You don't care about anything but God. Because if it's not God, me and you don't have a part. And if it is God, there's no sentiment. Straight as it is. You are willing to give your heart, your time, your energy, and your resources. Lift your right hand and ask Him for help. Ask Him for help. Ask Him for help.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
For mercy, we ask for grace tonight to serve you and to serve you acceptably. Your word said, having received the kingdom that cannot be moved, let us receive grace whereby we serve you acceptably. And so we receive grace tonight because we believe in your word that said, if we ask, we will receive. And so, Lord, we are here asking tonight for grace to serve. In the area of total commitment of our hearts to you, in the area of commitment of time to you, in the area of commitment of energy for the kingdom, and in the area of commitment of our resources, empower us, for it is you that worketh in us, both to will and to do of your good pleasure. And so we have asked for this grace, and we believe we have received, and on the strength of your grace, everyone here goes out fulfilling their quota in the service of the kingdom. And Lord, particularly I ask for discernment, that they will know where they ought to serve, how they ought to serve, and that by the strength of that same grace, that they will serve you and serve you acceptably. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Give the Lord a big hand.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233-26767-6055. +233-26767-6055. Or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.